Okay, welcome back. And glad you're along. This is a particularly interesting program. I have covered with various guests over the years the mystery of the Coral Castle. Ah, yes. What happens when you live in Las Vegas for a couple of years. Okay, and Ed Leedskalnin's mystery may well have been, if not entirely solved, substantially solved with the revelations that John DePew has somehow discerned from 15 years of study when he finally looked at the cover of the book he had been reading for so long and saw two little squiggly lines on the front. This is an amazing story, and you can see it on John DePew's website. This is a first radio exclusive for you. We're going to do our best to connect John with others in the field of advanced science, open-minded science, and see if they can come up with things that may even further enhance John's work. Okay, John, this whole thing of the wheel, I think we all have the basic picture in mind now, at least a pretty good idea of it. And let me just back up a minute. We have the photograph of Ed spinning the wheel, as it were. He's got a vertical handle on it, the shaft, and he holds and he spins it round and around and around and around. Was this thing on bearings, could you tell? How crude was it?
It's pretty crude, but it's still efficient. You know? That's the way he did everything, it seems like. He kept it as simple as possible. You know?
So does the wheel still turn?
You know what? Something I want to mention real quick while you bring that up.
Yeah.
I saw a recent picture of the wheel. I haven't been there in a while. And someone is tampering with it. They're chipping away the concrete trying to get inside of the wheel. And that really bothers me a lot. Because once it's apart, you're never going to be able to put it back together in its integrity, you know. If anything, x-ray it. Don't take it apart. You know?
Are these tourists in there?
I think it's somebody that works there or something. But somebody that has a lot of time there. Because it would take a lot of time to do what they're doing. But they're chipping away at the concrete, trying to take it apart, and there's just no way they're going to successfully take it apart without ruining it.
Have you made this observation known to the people who are custodians of this priceless legacy?
I tried, but there's no reply.
Well, you must keep after them.
It's not easy.
Send me your email, and I'll send it to them.
Okay.
Maybe we can get some pressure put on them.
Yeah, I would like just x-ray it. You don't have to take it apart, you know.
Easy to do.
Yeah.
Okay. So, just for fun, let's go back, and we're standing next to Ed, and he's turning this wheel. How fast will he be turning it? Any guesses?
Well, I have one thing. He mentions that timing is crucial. That's all I can say on that.
Ah.
That is very important, the timing.
And I wonder how he could tell when the timing was right.
Well, there's a balance. It's something I've discovered on my wheel research. Okay, this is going to be hard to explain, but you know when you spin a bicycle wheel with spokes, you can see the two different directions of force in the spokes?
Yeah, that's fascinating. I always
That's real. That's both forces. You are seeing something real there.
Oh, really?
Yes.
It's not just it's not an optical illusion?
Exactly. Now listen, it's hard to explain. Right in a magnetic field, you can hold the spot that's exactly centered between those two opposite forces. And that's how my little bearing, the vortex gears, how they keep spinning in tune with the wall current. Am I losing you?
No. I got the idea.
In a magnetic field, you can hold perpetual motion. Perpetual motion is the balancing point of those two directions.
You got to find the right spot.
Right. And its timing would fit with that.
Now, I'm going to go back to this bicycle wheel. That's amazing. If you spin a bicycle wheel that has spokes on it, and you watch the spokes, it does appear that you can see things moving in two different directions.
It'll cascade up, and then cascade back, and cascade up, and cascade back. And you can stop that cascading between the two directions in a magnetic field. I've already proven that.
That's amazing. I used to look at that as a kid and wonder what that was all about. I thought it was just an optical trick, like, you know.
Right.
On a hot day when you see mirages on asphalt and so forth?
So did I found it, just by accident, by experimenting. You know, I was trying to get my gears to stay in tune with the currents that were coming out of my wheel.
Uh-huh.
And what I use is an air compressor. I speed up my gears to be in tune with the wall current, and I could see those little lines of force, exactly six of them, cascade one way and cascade the other. And finally, I got to where it would stay right in the middle. It's such a fine little balancing spot. But once you get it there, it'll stay there for days. I had my gears spinning for days.
Oh,
this is being
remarkable.
Powered by the wall. And I'm running my current right now. My wheel's not finished, so I'm just
got it. Okay. All right. So let's assume he's turning that at 40 to 60 revolutions per minute, something like that?
I don't know.
We don't know. And once he got it going, it would continue on its own. That's what he's saying. Okay. So we're building up this energy field, as it were. I've asked this before, but let me ask it again. How does the energy from that location go to the point he needs it to be to do the work he was doing, raising and lifting these enormous pieces of rock?
Are you ready? What I believe, this is not, I don't have it substantiated or anything.
Okay, he didn't drag a cable with him.
It's down to figure M.
It's what?
Figure M.
Figure M.
Okay. Once I complete a full, what you would say would be like a complete structure of these two currents, where it looks almost like a little living cell or whatever.
Okay.
I merge it with duplicates of the same thing, and all of a sudden a grid appears in the pattern. So he built this. God, he's so brilliant, I can't even talk about it. He built this clue to show whoever takes it farther, there's more.
No, I got it. He's showing us only a glimpse of the potential.
What I'm saying is this clue leads into more clues.
I got it.
I've taken it so far, but this grid is how I think the energy flows. It's very difficult for me to talk.
It's a three-dimensional grid.
Look at that picture then, Joe.
Which picture?
Figure M.
All right, let's get to M. P, M, Q.
You see a grid forming when you merge.
Okay.
You merge the structure.
Figure.
All right,
go to Figure M on John DePue's page, and click on that image, and it will nicely enlarge. And there is a grid right smack in the middle of it.
That's built into the code. Is that brilliant or what?
Oh, that's astonishing.
I know, and they're all feeding the centers, and that's how I think the neutral zero energy travels.
There is Ed Leeds Scalman's two little simple little curvy lines,
right,
all worked together in sacred geometry. But beyond that, it's do you look at crop circle formations?
That's exactly. I've noticed those too. They're right on the money. Now, do you understand how I put the grid formed? If you look above that figure L, if you take four of those and put them together, you'll get that grid. But now, you have to line it up so perfect. There's little markers in the structure itself. It's exactly like a little jigsaw puzzle, like a key. If you don't line it up right, you won't see it.
You know who else knew about this?
Knights of Templar, a lot of people.
The Mayan culture had it?
Yeah. I traced it back to King Solomon. I can't get much farther past that.
Okay, so you take four from figure L and carefully combine them, and you'll see at figure M what you have.
And then I took that even farther, and you'll start seeing.
Okay, let's go to the next one. Let's go to N. Figure N as in Norman. All right, figure N.
Now, all these grid lines are built into the code itself. I didn't put them in there. Now, you tell me what kind of genius you have to be to know that and to leave that two little line clue that builds into it.
Oh, that's amazing.
I know.
That's just amazing. Look at that grid.
Now, that grid is exactly how our planets held together. So those lines are how he sent out his neutral energy, I believe. And that's also what relativity is.
Okay, so those lines were the power as it were, transmission lines or pathways.
That's what I believe.
He could send. Now, that would be a three-dimensional grid, though. We're looking at it, obviously, in one dimension
right.
there.
Right.
So the planet is held. The planet is held together with an energy grid of...
But not just the planet, everything.
Everything.
The universe.
That's the...
Your skin. Look at your skin.
That may be the essence of it all.
Exactly.
So we are, as I said...
Millers.
We are electromagnetic first.
Yep.
And chemical second.
Yep.
Okay, hold on. Back in just a minute. Figure M and the even more amazing figure N, right there at John DePue's website for you to look at. Ed Scalman, says John, had a complete ley line understanding. It goes way beyond our modern understanding. Magnetic currents work the same way at all levels, from the tiniest particle as well as the largest mass in space, including the universe as a whole system. It is the fabric that molds everything into shapes and form. Our brain's thinking operates on the same system. So that would indicate that this is the life force that gives us our experience of being alive. It seems to be that we are all connected in an infinite network of energy. And there's that oneness again. Always come back to that. Too bad we ever lost it in the first place. It appears that the core or the center, the next figure, figure 01, of each structure is neutral energy that runs in squared triangle ley line grid patterns that connect all centers. I believe this is where the gravity effects are hidden. I believe that it is how, that this is how, it's equal balanced neutral energy runs differently in a wire than we use the separated parts of this energy form today. This is why ley lines would be relevant to tapping into the natural zero points. They are the real cosmic force as a whole form. Okay. That's just amazing. Next, the next image we were to look at would be... figure P?
Well, did you look at figure O? With the capsule overlay? Figure O2, picture 2.
Okay, O2. Hold on, let's find it here. There's O1 and O2. Yeah, okay. All right, figure O2 is the second one right there. And if you look down at it, he has... Oh, I got it. Only it fits to scale perfectly, doesn't it?
Yeah, but see, when I put it together, I put it together like four different ways, and they all have things that really look promising. So I just put this one up to show the basic premise, you know, the basic idea of the whole thing. But I'm not satisfied with the ones I've done so far. But I know it's in there, so I'm not sure if this is accurate or just close to being accurate.
I got it, but you're clearly on to something.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's amazing. So the actual ley lines, the grid lines, would have intersected the Coral Castle grounds, and he could have theoretically tapped into those energy points anywhere along those lines, right?
And his revolving door was opening and closing a circuit.
When he moved the Coral Castle to the new location...
And he moved part of it.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
I wonder how he went out scouting to find the best location.
I think he knew how to observe nature and see what he needed.
Probably just look at it and see harmony and see energy and see...
He way nature's, you know, growing or whatever. It was all about nature.
Right. This may sound a little, for those of you trying to follow and not following, this may sound a little out there, but it really isn't all that. It's astonishingly simple.
Yeah,
really.
But, you know, it doesn't have to be complicated. His whole point was that science has made this huge mess with all these different things, but nature only needs three things to do all of it.
And those three things are?
North and south magnets and the neutral center, the neutral particles of sunlight, starlight.
Magnetic mattress pads. I've been using those for years. Magnetic fields for health. Magnets for healing. Magnetic fields can somehow organize chaos back into logic in an electrical, a bioelectric entity. They can do some amazing things. Magnetic fields. Explain, if you would, your view of gravity and magnetic fields, or magnetism. Is there a difference? Are they the same basic thing?
I think they're all part of the same whole, but I think the difference, when you break it up, it has different attributes.
Uh-huh.
So I think science has just missed the way the whole form runs. You understand what I'm saying?
I do. Well, science, as you said, has gotten, it's as if they're so myopic. They're looking at this little problem in front of them, and if they were just to raise their head, they would see this amazing truth all around them. Very simple.
Oh, yeah, right. They don't even want to look. You know, I've tried to tell so many people this, they don't even give it a second. You know, that says everything.
Well, they're steeped in their grants, they're steeped in their training, they're steeped in their egos, and they don't want to upset anything. They don't have room for anything new, really, most of them.
They shouldn't be doing that work, then.
Well... There's money in it, and they have mortgages and all the rest of it, and they have tenure, and you know the game.
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, who are some of the people you've tried to contact with all of this, John?
Pretty much everybody. I mean, anybody I could think of.
And will anyone actually sit down and read through it with you, or read through
it?
You're
the only one that's given it this much time.
Wow.
I really appreciate that.
Well, we're going to do things with this. You'll see. You deserve more credit than I can.
No.
I'm just a conduit. Okay, here's a break coming up, John. Stand by if you will. We'll come back and take a look at some more of these remarkably brilliant illustrations, which make this super genius, as John DePew calls Ed Leeds-Galman. Make his work more simple to understand. And I do hope some of you folks out there who are involved in physics and so forth will take the time to look at this and contact John and at least acknowledge his dedication. I think you as scientists can understand what he is doing here and trying to do, and maybe you'll have some insights that'll help push this back even further. Okay, be back in just a minute. That's John Pugh's website. This is not only a breakthrough in terms of understanding, apparently, how Ed Leeds-Galman did what he did, vis-a-vis moving these enormous pieces of rock and so forth, but it apparently opens the door to the door Ed opened, and that door allowed Ed to look into literally the heart and soul, the fabric, the structure, the essence of the universe, and how it is basically put together. And it's not very complicated. Your mind, John, must have taken this realization and gone in a thousand different directions with it, the potential of it. Are we as a species mature enough to have and share and use this kind of knowledge? I have severe and grave doubts about that.
Yeah, I have to agree now. Now especially, I really agree. After trying to show people and they still don't even come close to even wanting to see it.
And those, speak a little louder if you can, and those who would want to see it and would understand it probably aren't the ones we want that knowledge in the hands of.
That's true. And that's one regret I'll have if it turns out that way. But my hopes are that the noble and good side will take it and run with it.
Well,
I think it's
okay.
The only chance to, if there is an evil side that probably already knows this stuff, I really think they
yeah.
do.
So I wouldn't be
what
surprised.
Better way to combat it than to understand it yourself also?
Right. I wouldn't be surprised. Now, let's just for fun play around with this for a minute. We've got this 360-degree, three-dimensional, maybe 10 dimensions, who knows, grid of, you could call it, it's not cubes, it's a grid. And it's you might look at it as a three-dimensional cube in a way with... the lines going around each square in that enormous mass of grid. But that would enable, would it not, things like crafts from other planets, other solar systems, other galaxies to travel at zero point speeds very quickly from place to place by just hopping on these grids and going.
Right, that's what I agree with that. And that's just one angle. There's endless. It is mind-boggling when you think about the potential of the knowledge here.
So they just jump on the universal grid of zero-point energy and go.
You're tapping into something that's so powerful that it can separate space. I mean, that force is what separates the north and the south magnet. It's right in the middle.
Uh-huh.
It's powerful enough to hold back the universe, basically.
Powerful enough to hold back the universe.
You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
I do. I don't know. Okay, let's look at a few more pictures here with John now and scroll down his homepage. This may answer countless questions with just a little bit of basic knowledge here that John has discovered, rediscovered, interpreted, however you want to phrase it, from the work of Ed Leedskalman.
Something I noticed was if you put a black background on these patterns, you'll see a whole different side also. You'll see parts of it that you didn't notice before that seem pretty relevant, you know, pretty important. For example, if you look at one of the grid patterns, black background or the white background, you'll see the flower centers, okay? Well, look at the centers between the four sets of flower centers.
Okay.
See that?
Okay, we'll go to... Which figures will we be looking at here?
Oh, you can go to 01.
Okay. 01, all right.
Yeah.
Let's look at 01, figure 01. All right, that's the top one. We'll click on that and pull that up. True structure of energy in our universe. Okay, now explain what you were just telling us again.
Right. Look at the flower centers with those bundles of energy.
Yep.
Okay, now look at a set of four of them and then look in the center of that set.
Okay.
See that? It's like an opposite of a flower. It's like a negative version of what you're seeing.
Got it. Yeah.
Just,
it reminds
it's like
me
a bunch of empty space or
probably
a larger collection of neutral energy than the other spot.
Well, it's almost a mirror opposite of what the flowers are.
Right. Now, that's built into the code, too. I mean, it's just mind-boggling.
And when you think about it, you just... travel along that. I mean, it's just, the potentials
are. It connects everything.
Yeah.
Like if you pinch yourself on your toe and you can feel it all the way through your body, that message I think is sent through this kind of a network.
Or if a relative or a friend suffers a pain and you feel the pain, even though you're thousands of miles away, at the same instant, the same moment, the same place in your body, that's the connection.
Yeah, relativity.
All one And yet we go through life so close-minded and childish about, everything is compartmentalized. And
waste all our energy. We could really be doing wonderful things.
We waste all our energy trying to define and redefine reality in terms of our own individual and collective egos.
And what someone else has taught us to believe.
And belief systems. Which all obfuscate this simple truth that we are all connected.
Right.
Coral Castle. Little Ed Lead Skeleton.
Yeah, super genius.
Okay, that's quite an image. Let's look at a couple more here. Then we have another break coming up. We've looked at the one figure 02, where approximately the actual coral castle is overlaid. It's just a square. It's a cube.
Yeah, that's just the way I laid it in there. I mean, you can lay it in different ways.
Got it.
I think my battery's going to cut you off.
Well, you tell your cell phone to hold on. Do you have another battery?
Yeah, I have it ready, so when you go on break, I can switch it and call me back after that.
Okay, well, we'll go to a break right now.
Okay, I'll switch phones and you can call me right back.
All right, we'll do it. Okay, right, hold on, and we'll take our break now. I'm right back with our final segment with John DePue. This is potentially the most extraordinary program of its kind that you may ever hear, that I have ever done. Potentially. We need to study this. John is clearly a man of great intuition and brilliance, and maybe he tapped into the oneness to help him understand this. Be right back. Okay, John, we have one segment left here to kind of tie this up. What other images would you like to look at and focus upon here in our remaining minutes? We've got figure S down there, which is kind of interesting.
You can figure S will go through real fast, and let's go back up to the top.
Okay, shall we go to the top first?
No, let's stick with S. Since you're
okay,
down
figure S is in SAM. Yeah, go ahead and click that. Go ahead.
Yeah, so that's the sundial of Ed's, which he was screaming the science about also, that our planet, the way it moves around the sun is a lot different than science believes.
Oh.
Yeah, and that's part of the whole thing. And look at the lines on the sundial, and what do you see? Magnetic current.
Oh, and these are orbits.
Yeah, now if you took that design and went all the way around, like you can see it wants to go around all the way. By the way, it's moving on this one part that he designed. If you take it all the way into a 360, you'll see the flower of life.
Again.
Yeah.
So he's saying the orbits of the planets, their orbits are actually...
in these patterns.
Mm-hmm. And all because he was stood up by a 16-year-old teenager.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Now go up to the top of the page and you'll see I took another whole structure. So you can create... start out with the two lines, build a structure,
uh-huh.
And every time I've done that, there's been something in it that is the code part of the structure.
Okay.
So go up to figure A.
Got it.
And look at the top one there. It's magnetic currents, the true atom builders.
Okay.
Now take a good look at it.
Yeah.
That structure has a north and south pole.
Yeah.
You see those gaps in that section?
Right at 3 o'clock and 9 o'clock.
Yeah. Those gaps. They almost look like a mistake in the pattern.
Yep.
So if you take those gaps and say duplicate the whole thing, take those gaps and line them up with each other, and you have the same thing all over again, but a whole different structure pattern. He did this all in his head. I mean, I've never seen anything like it on this planet. And I've searched every little nook and cranny I could find, and there's no scientist that even came close to this.
Was Ed from this planet, or was he gifted with some kind of knowledge or brilliance?
I'm really starting to wonder. Really.
And his clue was right on the front of his old book all these years.
Yeah.
Just for those of you listening, forget about coincidence. There is no coincidence in any of this. It's absolutely a lock.
Right.
Whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Now look at that one single pattern. Now look at the multiple patterns below it, in black background and a white background, and you'll see the brilliance in Ed Lee's comment.
Okay, let's see. All right, the next one is same image, but a mosaic of it. Well, repeated.
Now they won't. I see that little three. Petal flower, that's in tons of ancient scriptures.
Huh.
That does not happen unless you line up those little neutral holes there.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's look at the black background.
So they're all communicating with their centers on there also.
You can see the centers easier. See those little gaps?
Mm-hmm. You have to line those up just like a key. This is the Da Vinci Code. All those codes are basically based on this.
Hmm.
The Bible Code, the Da Vinci Code, this is what it's about.
I have reservations about some of those, but...
I'm just saying, they were trying to...
tap into the same...
magnetic current is what they represent.
Okay, remarkable. Let's go all the way back down to the bottom and take a look at John DePue's wheel. How many wheels have you built, John?
Just one. I've had a lot of little experiments, but this is my best one. This is the one that... And this is basically, made from junk parts.
This is my wheel, it says here. For those of you not online, I discovered Ed's code before I finished building it, which turns out to be a great turn of events. It has helped me understand more of what is needed. So your wheel is what are the I don't want to call them spikes, but the
they're U-shaped iron. Basically what they really are, what they're made from are just simple curtain hangers, like metal iron curtain hangers.
Oh yeah.
I bought a ton of them and put them rebent them and made U's, because I couldn't find any U's anywhere. I didn't want to use magnets, I wanted to use iron, because iron can hold the magnets and release them.
Now, your wheels don't go into the ground.
My wheel's not mounted in the ground yet. I have to build a core and try to set it up the same way as Ed, but I haven't gotten that far. But it is producing magnetic current.
Just by itself?
No, not by itself, by plugging it in. I have it hooked up to my power.
So you charge it up with what, 110?
Well, yeah, I'm just doing that, so I wanted to work out the flow, magnetic flow.
Okay.
But see, the way I have it wired, it doesn't get hot. Basically, you're creating an orbit of energy that has very little resistance. Heat is just a product of friction. You don't have to have heat to have energy.
Okay.
Heat is a waste of energy.
Hmm.
I mean, when you see a hurricane, it's not hot.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of power there, a lot of force there. Same principle.
Okay, now the figure Z, the last image.
That's what I was talking about before, with that balancing point in between the two motions. When I use the bicycle wheel analogy.
So what is that we're looking at?
That's basically a bearing. Uh-huh. You take out of any of, you know, you can get them anywhere. And I mounted magnets on it. I gave it a, you know, north and south pole.
Uh-huh.
So it's like a little planet, basically.
Like a little planet. Boy, you must, after doing all this work, really have great concerns about what we've done and are doing to this planet. How much...
Oh, yeah, I do, actually.
Can you see, John, a limit to the amount of abuse a portion of the universal grid representing this planet can take before somehow there's a rupture or a fracture and things
right.
Disassemble and then are reassembled in a different way?
Right, ripple.
So we could blow it. We could. Okay. I wonder if his phone... We'll try and get him right back there. But take a look at that last image. Image Z. And he says, here is one of my many polarized bearings. I call them vortex gears. These gears can be extended outward, upward, and downward, branching out from each other. Each gear produces its own rotating magnetic field, which is able to be to continue the chain of rotation on to other bodies. So there's figure Z. And John, I was just asking, can we blow it here on the planet with the wrong kind of physics that we don't really understand too well, like HARP? We're pumping up enormous amounts of electromagnetic energy. We're charging up the ionosphere. We're, some would say, charging up the lower atmosphere with these aluminum barium chemtrail spraying operations. We're turning that into a static plasma, which can be accessed and used by HARP and HARP-like projects. Are we on the doorstep of really perhaps blowing the whole thing?
I think so. I think that they don't have a right to do that. People shouldn't allow that to happen.
And yet,
nobody has the right to play games with that.
Well, nobody has the right to play games with God, in a way.
Right. Well, that's what it is. I have a lot of reservations, but I don't think anybody has the right to do that. They should focus more on natural means of producing energy. That's
of course. Of which you are clearly convinced there is... beyond an infinite supply right here at our fingertips.
Uh-huh. And that's the way it's designed to be distributed, you know, naturally distributed.
Now, back to that resonant energy, that electromagnetic energy that holds atoms together, uh-huh. that is the realm of, that is the zero point.
That's what I believe, yeah.
Okay.
I believe that is the base structure of energy mm-hmm. as a whole mm-hmm. form.
Hmm.
Nothing below that. So, like, all nano researchers should really focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
These are the true atom builders. I mean, something holds an atom in its structure, and you have to ask yourself what that is. And Ed screams the world that magnetic currents were that.
The amazing Ed Leedskalman, who left behind the keys to the kingdom, as it were, in two little lines.
Yeah.
That John DePue, after 15 years, figured it out. Did the moment come on quickly, or was it a process that took days or weeks? How quickly did it strike you?
Well, it's been a gradual process, but when I found it, it was exactly like that. It was a moment. It was just like, wow. And you see how much trouble I have talking.
Yeah.
Because I'm so full of all these years and finally finding it that I can't even talk about it after I find it. You know, it's so frustrating.
No, you've done a fine job. Don't even.
Well, you helped me a lot.
No. Don't even think about it. So what's next for John DePue? What are we pushing at now?
Well, I'm just skimming the surface here. I mean, I just found this last month, really.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I brought it out as fast as I found. I haven't even finished building my wheels, so I have a lot of work to do.
Okay. John, I want you to keep me posted, and I would like very much to help you in any way I can with this, and I will refer this to a number of people I know. So in the meantime, beware of sharks. Keep the good work to yourself when it's potentially dangerous to the planet, because you know how that goes, as much as you can anyway.
Okay, I really appreciate it, Jeff.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay, John DePue. A genius, a man who has put together maybe the biggest puzzle of them all. Okay, we'll be back.